Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of IOL Chemicals and Pharmaceuticals Limited. From the management, we have Mr. Pradeep Khanna, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Abhay Raj Singh, Vice President and Company Secretary, and Mr. Rakesh Mahajan, Advisor Finance and Strategic. We also have an investor relations team from AdFactors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and you will be able to ask questions after the speech concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Darshan Mankad from AdFactors PR for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rishi. Good afternoon, everyone. We welcome you to the first quarter ended June 30, 2023 earnings call of IOL Chemicals and Pharmaceuticals Limited. Before we begin the earnings call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made during today's call might be forward-looking in nature, and hence it may involve risk and uncertainties, including those related to the future financial and operating performance. Please bear with us if there is a call drop during the course of the conference call. We would ensure the call is reconnected the soonest. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Rakesh Mahajan for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Darshan. Good afternoon, everyone. We welcome to the first quarter earning conference call of the company. Thank you very much for joining this call. Hope you all have gone through our results and the investor presentations available on our website and exchanges. Before we dwell into the financial performance for this quarter and open up the forum for the quarter question and answer session, we would like to briefly touch upon the industry update. After a subdued growth last year amid global uncertainties, the world economy is gradually bouncing back with optimism, as is evident in trade and investment sentiments. Opening of the Chinese economy has proved to be a boon for overall world economy, though for some sectors it is a challenging. For India Inc., in general, the policy development is lower input cost, which are helping many companies to post good margins, with the Government of India encouraging manufacturing of API domestically to lower the dependence on Chinese import. The industry is witnessing increased interest from the Indian manufacturers, who are focused on improving operational efficiency as well as expanding the capacities to fulfill the incremental demand. For the specialty chemical sectors, the growth in Chinese economy is putting pressure on the margin, as the realization have reduced compared to the last quarter of FY23. The correction in realization has impacted the top line growth also, though the lower input cost will have some advantage in upcoming quarters. With this update, I now hand over the call to my colleague, Mr. Pradeep, who will brief you about the financial performance of the quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mahajan. Good afternoon, everyone. And thank you for joining us today to discuss our performance for the first quarter ended 30th June 23. I will take you through the financial highlights for the fourth quarter and the full year. Total income of the company in the quarter one of financial year 24 was flat at rupees 570 crore against the corresponding quarter ended June 22. EBITDA for the first quarter of 24 was rupees 79.9 crore, 30.6% higher compared to rupees 61 crore in the corresponding quarter of the last year. EBITDA was rupees 105 crore in quarter 4 of financial year 23. EBITDA margin for the quarter improved by 330 basis points to 14%, as against 10.7% year-to-year basis. Net profit in the quarter one of financial year 24 was ₹46.2 crore, as against ₹34.9 crore in the corresponding quarter of the last year, and ₹65.3 crore in the quarter one of the financial year 24. With price volatility in the chemicals business normalizing over the last few months, EBIT margin for the specialty chemicals segment was stable at 4.7% in quarter one of financial year 24, while EBIT margin for the pharmaceutical segment was 14.3%. So with this, we open the forum for a question and answer session. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Forum Parekh from BNK Research. Please go ahead, ma'am. Ms. Parekh?
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, specialty chemical sales have declined by almost 10%. So can you just give me the reason why has it declined? Is it only the price volatility, or are we seeing some, you know, external factors which have impacted the entire specialty chemical segment?
Thank you, Ms. Parekh. The decrease in sale is not due to any quantity decrease. It is primarily through the rate reduction in price of ethyl acetate and acetic anhydride due to the low raw material cost for these products.
Okay. And I see that sales is almost, you know, negative or flat. But then because of raw material cost optimization, gross margins have gone up by 500 bips. So do you think this kind of increment is sustainable in margins? And RM cost optimization, do we see it here to stay, or we might see it increase in next quarter?
We are thinking that it is the margin and these sale price and the ramping will be sustainable, and we expect in this section of chemicals it is sustainable numbers.
Okay. And last question.
The raw materials and finished goods are now stable. We will see the increase in top and bottom line in the current quarter.
Okay. And last question, if I may squeeze in. Chemical EBIT margin at 5%, do we see this run rate coming back in this fiscal?
It will remain almost for this quarter, almost remain the same, I think.
So for this whole year, we assume it will remain in the similar range.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
So minor improvement can happen, but not very substantial improvement will not be there.
Okay, so we can work with 5% margin for the year, right?
So 5 to 6% we can say safely.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, please press star and one. We have the next question from the line of Sheikh Mohammed Ayaz. He is an individual investor.
Hello, good evening, sir. I have multiple questions. First question is, if you see companies, employees benefit exchange, so it has raised in every June quarter. If I will see, June 21, it was 34 crores. In June 22, it was 44 crores, and now it is 54 crores. So I just want to know how much employees we have added. And this 54 crore employee expenses one time or it will continue as same?
We could not hear you correctly, but I think you are talking about the employee cost.
Yeah, employee benefit expenses. Yeah.
So, for the first quarter, basically the part of it is the one time and the part of it on as the annual increment. Because the last financial year, the employee got some variable pay that is affected in the first quarter. So that part is the first, one time for this financial year, and the incremental amount will be reflecting proportionately in the second, third and fourth quarter too.
This is 54 crore. Will continue in upcoming quarters, right?
No, it may be around 50.
Less than 50.
Less than 50, something around 48 crores.
Okay. The second question is, I was looking at the margins of FY20 and 22 margins. They were around 30-35%. Is company making any efforts to reach those levels anyhow, or they are not reachable? At any cost. No, 30. I was seeing 20-21 EBITDA margins. Those are around 30-35% in FY 2021 or 19-20. I don't know exactly, but those levels were around 31% around.
Mr. Ayaz, in last quarter call, we also said that something around 15-17% is the EBITDA margin. We understand that this is achievable and a very healthy margin. We cannot comment that we will be achieving the 22% EBITDA margin in this fiscal year or the next fiscal year, but I think that something around 15-17% is sustainable.
Okay. And in spite of all the development we have done in after COVID, I think we have introduced many products in API and chemicals. We have done capacity expansion, regulatory approvals. But still, why our export hasn't reached pre-COVID levels? Because in FY29, our exports were 647 crore and 645 crore. So why, in spite of so much development, we haven't surpassed those levels?
Actually, that period was an exceptional period in due to COVID and other things. But now the global scenario, like Europe, we have sale. Our export sale was affected to some extent. But now it is again coming back to normalized position in Europe. And as regard to the margins, we have to we are working on non-IBU and other expansion of our chemical product also. And we hope that with the passage of time, maybe 3-4 quarters, we may increase our bottom line also.
Okay, I have gone through the investor presentation. There is one remark is that we are going to register a few products for NMPA China. Which are those products?
These are IBU is already in the process of registration, and other like paracetamol and this metformin.
Paracetamol and metformin. Okay. Any regulatory approvals coming in upcoming quarters? Can you say any regulatory approvals coming upcoming quarters?
Recently, we have got approvals from European and Korean also. But for other US FDA, we are waiting for approval from non-IBU product, for which we have already filed our DMF, drug master file.
We have 5 CEP and 12 DMF are under review.
Sorry, didn't get it. Repeat it.
DMF for file 12 API and CEP for 5 products already filed.
Okay, another last question. Combination products like vildagliptin and sitagliptin with metformin and losartan and losartan. What is that in universal presentation?
We are not in the any combination product. We are only for the APIs for these combination finished doses. So we are producing this cotton in the our facility, but sitagliptin we have got the Indian patent, but it's yet to be commercialized.
Okay, and my last and final question: why no one from management are coming on air? Because after last quarter also there was no interview on any of TV, and this after this quarter also there was no one on TV. What is the reason behind it?
There is no reason for that.
And why our CEO is also not coming for the conference call or not for the on air show?
Our CEO has replaced recently, and he is now involved in the understanding of business in deeper sense. He may be joined at the appropriate time.
Okay. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Neelam Punjabi from Perpetuity Ventures LLP. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on the ibuprofen business. It's been pretty strong for the quarter at more than 30% YOY growth. So could you highlight, has it been driven by volumes or have you also seen some uptick in the ibuprofen prices?
Primarily it is on the volume increase from year to year perspective.
So what were the volumes for the quarter, if you could highlight?
Our plant is running at 80 to 85%. In June, it was around 65 to 75%.
In the month of June?
In the June 22, it was around 65 to 75% running capacity. But now it is running at 85 to 90% capacity.
Got it. Okay. And would this increase in volumes during the quarter be maintained for the rest of the year? Are you seeing strong demand for ibuprofen?
Yeah, demand is there for ibuprofen.
So we can expect...
It is sustainable demand.
Got it. So for the full year FY24, we can expect 85 to 90% utilization?
Yes, right.
Got it. Okay. Coming to the other API business, so X of ibuprofen, the revenue growth has been pretty muted at about 10% YOY. So wanted to understand why has it been muted, and I read your annual report where you had mentioned that by FY25 you want to have non-ibuprofen revenues at 50% of the pharma revenues. So are we on track to achieve the same?
In this quarter, it is already contributing around 35% of the pharma segment. And as regards to the low level of growth, the prices of one or two products are decreased sharply in first quarter. However, the quantity is increasing in day by day for these products in the market. And moreover, when we got the approvals from Europe and other export markets, and validation of those customers are under process, and we may get the good results from these non-IBU segment from the export market shortly.
Actually, last year we have a revenue of about 380 CR in the non-IBU vertical. And we expect more than 500 to 550 CR in the current financial year.
Got it. Okay. And when you say that the incremental business would from Europe and other regulated markets should start coming in, by when do you expect that increment happening?
The process is already in the this development is under the process already. And it took maybe two quarters or three quarters. it will be started again, getting benefit from export market.
Got it. Okay. And could you highlight in Q1?
Probably 8 to 9 months.
Understood. Okay. For Q1, in our non-ibuprofen API business, what was the split in terms of domestic and exports?
Because around 15 to 20% is export and around 80 to 85% domestic. Primarily is the domestic market.
Got it. And which you're saying in the next 8 to 9 months, our export business and regulated market sales would keep increasing?
Surely we also hope for that.
Understood. Okay. My next question is on the gross margins. So if I look at on a quarter-on-quarter basis from Q4 to Q1, we have seen a decline in 50 basis points, despite you mentioning an easing of raw material prices and input prices. So are there any one-offs during the quarter?
We have some inventory lying with us for on a higher cost, where the finished prices are already coming down. So it may be partly may be covered in this quarter, and a little bit may we go for 1 month of next quarter.
Got it. Okay. Lastly, on the acetic anhydride newly commissioned plant, so you had mentioned that you've commissioned 25,000 tons per annum plant. So could you highlight what kind of cost savings could we see from here, and how much is our requirement internally for acetic anhydride, and how much would be the merchant sale?
We have started in mid of June 23, and it is already started running around 80% capacity utilization. And out of that, primarily we are using around 60% in-house and 40% to the merchant sale. And we have some benefit of market price versus capital consumption. And rather than price consumption, reliability factor and continuous supply is addition to the company.
Actually, our prime focus is captive consumption. For the competition in the market, it will take some time. We have just started this project.
Got it. So, but in terms of cost saving, if you could highlight
cost saving, but it is not a proper form to discuss about the exact numbers.
Got it. Okay. No worries. I'll get back to the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may press star and one. We have the question from the line of Mr. Rohit Suresh from Samatva Investments. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on the paracetamol segment. So there are a lot of bigger players in the country. I just wanted to know what is the right to win for IOL, like, because even other players, if I'm not wrong, they are backward integrated to an extent. So why did we actually plan to get into this segment, and how do we differentiate IOL versus the other peers? If you could give me something on that.
We have started our paracetamol on a very low capacity as compared to major peers in the industry. But we started with our own philosophy of the company going for the backward integration. We have our own paraminophenol in-house. We have acetic anhydride in-house. That may give us some advantage when we reach at certain economies of scale in paracetamol. That's maybe one of the reasons to set up this plant. Although we are a very very small player in as of now, but if as planned by our company, we may go for expansion in paracetamol also after getting all the regulatory approvals and getting the export market. In the four market means regulated market.
So how we grew our ibuprofen capacity in the past, can we expect similar trajectory, a similar strategy in terms of growing the paracetamol capacity in the next 3-4 years, right?
I have just explained that we have some plans for paracetamol expansion also. Because it is the only company which is 100% vertically integrated with paraminophenyl and acetic anhydride. No company is 100% vertically integrated in whole globe.
Got it. Okay. Fine, sir. Sir, and my second question would be, what is the capacity utilization right now of paracetamol? Like the plant, at what capacity?
90%. Around 90%.
Around 90%. Right. So my second, next would be on the ibuprofen part. So we are like one of the largest producers of ibuprofen in India and globally. In the past, why have we not focused on, increasing our share in the regulated market and focusing more on the domestic market? Then I'm also assuming the Chinese competition is very low in the ibuprofen part. So why have we focused more on the domestic part and less on the regulated markets?
No, we are already in the regulated market of Europe and Latin American countries. Although our presence in the U.S. is very low, but we are getting same net sales realization as compared to Europe with the U.S. So we primarily focus in the European market rather than the U.S. market. But now we again starting exploring U.S. market also.
Got it. Sir, and what will be the split of exports and domestic within ibuprofen?
16. Around 34%?
Export is 34%.
For this quarter?
Exports, right?
Yes.
Okay. 34%. Okay. Sir, and any, like, in the U.S. market, for example, like, you said you're focusing maybe in the future to get into the U.S. market. So what will be the realization difference like from the U.S. market versus the markets that you're focusing right now?
We can't comment on that because we have not a substantial share in the U.S. market as of now. But I think it may be almost equal to the European market, maybe. But I'm not sure.
Got it. Okay. Okay. Fine, sir. Thank you so much and wishing you all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may press star and one. We have the next question from Forum Parekh from BNK Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. I just wanted to understand on the non-ibuprofen API, like, what would be the EBIT margin? I mean, I see that we at pharma, EBIT margin is almost 14%. So, others, API, would we be clocking higher than this?
No, as of now, it is, you can say, single-digit EBITDA margin as of now. But with the capacity enhancement, fully utilization and getting the export market, we hope for at par with the ibuprofen margins. But as of now, it is single digit. Not double digit. It is a single digit EBITDA margins.
So double digit because exports to European country will start after 2 to 3 quarters. So can we expect double digit margin in non-ibuprofen APIs to begin after 2-3 quarters?
Sure.
Okay. I also see that pharma sales is doing very good, but, you know, of course, because of specialty chemical decline, you know, blended sales have almost been flat. And historically also, I've seen that there isn't much growth in sales. So by when do you expect a good, you know, 4-5% growth in top line to begin with? Because we're always seeing flat top line growth.
This quarter, the major reason of stable, the flat revenue is the lower sale realization in chemicals.
Right.
So
this trend, do you see it reversing or we will continue because prices for chemicals are declining and therefore can we anticipate this kind of top-line growth even in the upcoming quarters?
Our quantity is increasing and especially in the non-IBU also, but the revenue of chemical section and this non-IBU section has been affected by the lower sale realization.
Additionally, you know that acetic anhydride has been added in the mid of June. So for the acetic anhydride sale, around 40% after utilizing the captive consumptions will also go to the merchant market. So that will also add up to the top line.
Okay. Also, sir, can you comment on the capex? Are we going to incur again 200 crores kind of capex in this fiscal?
Even more than that. So for this year, we are planning around 200 crores of capex.
Okay, and where would we be utilizing this capex?
Capex will be utilized for the automation, improving the infra, and the growth capex.
Okay, so any non-ibuprofen API capacity we're thinking of increasing, like paracetamol you said is trading at 90% utilization. So though we have already doubled, but any more capacity do we intend to put there?
That will be depending on the market response, and this is pretty early to comment on that. Maybe by the next quarter or in the third quarter, we are able to comment on the same.
Okay. And, sir, I see your return ratios are very low. You know, ROE is just 9%. So when do we see this picking up? I mean, have you worked any number that you all want to achieve this kind of ROE going forward?
With the growth in export and other things, we hope for an increasing number.
Okay. So any... number you have worked internally?
Yeah.
Then this is the benchmark you all want to achieve.
I mean, our performance for this whole financial year will be much better than the last financial year. So we assume that we will be able to achieve the targets for this year as compared to the last financial year.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, please press star and one. We have a follow-up question from the line of Sheikh Muhammad Ayaz. He is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity again. My question is, we have a REACH certificate for the ethyl acetate. So what other regulatory approvals we can achieve or get for the ethyl acetate?
For Europe, it is sufficient regulatory for exporting to the European market. No other regulatory approval is required.
Are we exploring any other geography for that? Any approval? That
we are already exported in the Middle East and African countries. So now we have started in Europe.
Okay, thank you, sir. But my question for that employees, no, that wasn't answered. We currently we are having 2,500 employees. Can you give the number of previously in FY21-22, how much employees we are having and now how much we are having, number of employees?
As of now, on 30th June, it was around 2,725 people on the roll. And in 20 or 21, the number approximately will be around 1,500 to 1,700.
And we were having around 2,300 in the March.
Okay. We have added 400 employees. Okay. That's great. Okay. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Mahesh Vyas from UTI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Just one question on my side is that is this the capacity utilization of about around 80 to 85% for ibuprofen is sustainable? In the sense, the reason I'm asking this question is because last year it was 65 to 70% and this year it's around 80-85%. So is this because of lower ibuprofen API prices or something which we can expect on a longer term basis that utilization is the same?
As already explained in the call before that, we are expecting around 85 to 90% capacity as a full year, and the prices are already bottom out in last year, mid of last financial year. So we are not expecting any but price decrease or demand decrease in ibuprofen.
Okay, sure.
So do you have any other question?
No, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Rashmik Ojha from Nine Rays Equity Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So my question was on CapEx. So out of this 250 crore CapEx, how much is for growth CapEx this year, sir?
So as we already explained in the earlier call, that we have, at this moment, this is not very appropriate to talk about where we are investing in the growth CapEx. In the next or maybe the third quarter, we will be in a better position to talk about the growth CapEx.
Okay. Sir,
overall, the areas where we will be investing around 200 to 250 crores is the amount we have targeted for this year.
And everything will be from the internal accrual, not from any debt.
Okay. Sir, related question, if you could just help us, you know, because we already running at, we would be running at 85-90% utilization in ibuprofen and for paracetamol also 90%. What kind of capacity enhancement or expansion in terms of tonnage, if you can explain, we are trying for the next 2 to 3 years?
So for Ibu, we are not considering any capacity enhancement as of now. And for paracetamol, we may think, but that will be depending on the market responses and the market conditions and the approvals also. Because recently we got approvals from for the paracetamol, the CEP approval. So it takes around 2-3 quarters to explore that market. So everything will be depending on the responses we get from the regulated market. So that is why we are saying that by the end of this second quarter or maybe the third quarter, we will be in a better position to talk about the paracetamol capacity enhancement. It is pretty early to talk about right this moment.
Okay. And sir, we are mostly backward integrated in both paracetamol and ibuprofen to a large extent. Any new product or any new segment you're trying to get in for spending this growth capex?
Oh, we are having certain shortlisted products. The R&D is continuously working on all these products. And considering the viability and the market responses and the economies of scale, we will be coming out with the appropriate announcement after everything is finalized. So many things keeps on going on, but the finalization will be done basis the economies of scales too and the capacity of the company's capacity for going backward integrations and the availability of the raw materials too. So we would like to say anything on this when the things are finalized.
Okay.
And decided by the board also.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neelam Punjabi from Perpetuity Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. So my question is on the other API business. As you mentioned that we are targeting increase in regulatory sales after next 2 to 3 quarters. So, and you mentioned that they're targeting 500 to 550 crores of revenue this year. Next year, what would be our growth target for this other API revenues?
Something around
20 to 25%.
We have our internal targets, year on year basis.
And is it fair to assume that over the next 2 to 3 years, we can maintain this 20-25% growth rate?
For next 2 years, this is very pretty fair. And after 2 years, we will be analyzing again, considering the capacity we have and what are the market share we catch.
Understood. Okay. My next question is on the ethyl acetate business. So earlier you had mentioned that we are expanding some capacity through debottlenecking. So is that already done?
To some extent, it was done in the last financial year.
Got it. Okay. And lastly, what's the net cash as on 30th June that we have?
Net cash?
Actually,
around 250 crores.
260.
260.
It is 260 CR as on 30th June.
Got it. And last question is on the acetic anhydride plant. So, incrementally, what kind of sales can we generate through merchant sales?
In the current year, we expect 70 CR in the current year. Current year from anhydride.
Got it. And at peak also, can we? Is this the same number, 70-80 crores, or can it be higher?
It will be around 125 crore.
Understood. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, please press star and one. I repeat, if you have a question, please press star and one. As there are no questions, I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Abhay Raj Singh for closing comments.
Thank you very much for joining us today and discussing our financial performance for the first quarter ended 30th June 2023. The last financial year was further turbulent for the world economy as well as for the sectors our company is in. However, the underperformance of the sector and volatility was short-lived. With strong domestic demand in both sectors and the better managed RMC, we hope that the next quarter will bring in more value additions for investors and the shareholders alike. Thanks a lot for attending this call. Have a nice day.
Thank you. Participants, if you have any question or comments, you may reach out to @FactorsPR. That concludes this conference, and thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.